Would you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I was reflecting on the new year this week. We're almost halfway or better through January, and I'm still thinking about that new year. And I've heard so many people make kind of comments about entering this new year, and specifically what they've been saying is, I'm so glad the old year is gone. I'm so over 2021. I'm so over COVID. I'm so over this. I'm so over that. All that sort of backwards looking stuff, looking back at 21. And I don't want to do that again. I'm pretty over it myself. I'm so over it that I'm not looking back. I'm so over it that I'm looking forward. And I want to urge you to look forward with me. I want to reframe that perspective. I want us looking ahead. I want our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ, who goes before us in this world. And I want us following him. And I certainly want that for myself. And I want it for you as well. I don't want to look back. I want to look forward. I don't want to get stuck in all those old limitations. I can't do this. We can't meet here. We can't get together now. We can't. I don't want to look at those things. They're not helpful. They're not hopeful. I want us to look at new possibilities. What's before us? What is possible for us as individuals, as Christ followers, as a church, as a community? What is possible for us? Yes, things have changed. Yes, things are different. Yes, we're having to navigate between new poles. But that doesn't mean we don't have a future, and that doesn't mean that future isn't bright with possibility. And that's the territory I want to traverse with you this morning. There used to be, I don't know if anybody would remember him or even knew him, in the early, early days of Fountain Hills, there was a builder out here. His name was George Zalman. I can't remember exactly what nationality George was. I'm going to say Hungarian. He was something Eastern European. I had just, in that day and age, this is about 1973, I had just started a framing company with a partner who remains one of my two best friends to this day. And because we were new and because we were unknown, we really couldn't get work in the Paradise Valley, North Scottsdale community. We didn't have the credentials yet. But out here, small builders like George Zalman would hire us. And so we met George and came to an agreement about framing his houses. And my partner's name was Rudy, and we would split up. Rudy would go elsewhere, but I was the George Zalman guy, right? So I'd come out to Fountain Hills. George was a little independent guy, and he was one of those guys that would draw his own plans. I don't think he was an architect. In fact, I'm darn sure he wasn't an architect. But he would draw his own plans, and then he'd give them to us, and we would bid them, and then we'd come build them. And they were not things of architectural beauty, but they mostly worked. He was a very sensible man. But sometimes the plans wouldn't come together as George had imagined. I'm not sure if any of you have ever renovated or built a home and had that happen where you thought it was going to look like this and it ends up looking like this. And every now and then that would happen. And George would come up to me, and he was the sweetest man in the world. But he would come up to me and he'd look, and we would have framed something according to his plans. It would be exactly like the plan. And George would come up and he would scratch his head, and in his sort of broken English he would go, Beale, how is possible? How is possible? And that statement, question has stayed with me forever. Rudy and I still laugh about it. How is possible? Because George had a vision, you see. George thought he knew what that was going to look like, and we built it according to what he had drawn, but it didn't look like anything that he imagined. And then we had to have this discussion about how does it get to be what he had imagined, and we would go from there. But I've never forgotten how is possible. And I want to ask you that question this morning. How is possible? What is possible? Today I want to think about that. Now, we opened our text to Mark 9. This is a text you've heard from me a number of times. You guys, you know, I'm sure everybody that's been here for a while knows that Mark is, yes, my favorite gospel, and this is, yes, one of my favorite stories. I bet I've preached this story four or five, maybe even more times. Always different. There's always something else to look at. And this morning, I want to go to some territory that I've never gone to with you as we look at it. I think that this particular text really exemplifies the sense of God's living word, because every time I come into it, I find something new. Every time I come into it, I read the story with fresh ears and I go, oh, I didn't see that last time. Well, here's what I didn't see last time. I think there's a half a dozen lessons or sermons in here. As I look at this story, I want to approach it with the eyes of transformational leadership, this program that I've just come through. And I want to ask it a question. I want to ask it the question is this: what is possible? Because that's what Jesus demonstrates in this story, you see. He comes off the Mount of Transfiguration with that small handful of disciples, and ahead of him he sees this argument going on between the other disciples and doubtless the scribes and the Pharisees, and you can guess that they're probably arguing about the same old things, the conflict between the law and the new grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus is interested in that. He walks into the middle and says, what are you arguing about? So it's not that Jesus doesn't pay attention to that. It's not that Jesus isn't interested. He gets ready to enter the discussion. And when this man shows up from the back and just rudely interrupts, if you read the text, I mean, he just blurts right in there and says, you know, Lord, I brought my son to your disciples and they couldn't do anything for him. The thing that I love most about this story is Jesus stops right then, right there in his tracks. No more argument. That doesn't mean anything to him. What means something to him is that there's a suffering man with a suffering boy here, and Jesus' entire agenda changes. You can sense his eyes rotating. You can sense him fixing his vision on this poor child. So he leans in, and he gets the story. Well, I brought him to your disciples, and they couldn't do anything. They did the best they could. Nothing happens. And so Jesus learns that this cure, you see, is beyond the possibility for the disciples. Whatever their spiritual strengths are, they're not sufficient to this particular task. The father, well, he has limited hope himself. You get the sense this is his kind of last gasp effort. And he says to Jesus, you know, if you can do anything, would you heal him? And Jesus hears this, and it really just stops him. And he repeats, he says, if you can do anything. And then he throws the door wide open to possibility. And he says, all things are possible to those who believe. All things are possible to those who believe. The father famously answers, I believe, help my unbelief. The answer we should all give, because we're all this mixture of belief and unbelief, aren't we? Some more than others. The balance is often different, but all of us can just pray that prayer. I believe, help my unbelief. And Jesus hastens to put his money where his mouth is. He heals the boy. That's all it takes. He heals the boy. He does what his disciples couldn't do, because there are greater possibilities for Jesus than there were for the disciples. Because Jesus presumably believes at a much more profound level than they do. Afterward, the disciples asked Jesus, why couldn't we do that? Why couldn't we heal him? And Jesus makes a direct connection between the physical world and the spiritual world, and he says, this kind can only come out through prayer. In other words, you weren't leaning heavily enough into your spirituality. You weren't leaning heavily enough into your belief. You weren't leaning heavily enough into possibility. You were looking at difficulty. You were looking at a boy questioning within yourself whether you could heal him, and that was the challenge. All things are possible with God. And that raises a key question, I think, in our human lives. What is possible? What is possible for you? What is possible for me? What can we imagine for our lives? And the answer is simple. The answer is, with our God, everything is possible that we can envision if we have the faith. But sadly, more often we come at this from a more limited perspective and we say, what isn't possible? What can't I do? What am I short on? Now, there's a process, I'm sure you've seen this term somewhere, creative visualization. It's used a lot in sports. Golfers, for instance, they claim that if you pay attention, Bob, because I play every week, you and Bill, I'm going to help you with your game here. Golfers claim that if you mentally envision the perfect swing, you can bring it into being. That perfect swing becomes possible because you imagined it. That perfect swing becomes possible because you envisioned it. And it's the same in other sports. Sailing, for instance. If you're sailing a small boat and you look and you see that the sail is luffing, then you have to imagine, what would it take to get that sail to be filled? And what are my possibilities once it's filled? And when you adjust accordingly, those possibilities become realities. Same in your home life. If you creatively visualize love and peace and harmony in your home, you can have it. But until you do, you can't. It's the same with your faith life. If you imagine an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, you can bring it into being. All things are possible for the one who believes. Now, believe it or not, I'm going somewhere with this. I want to talk about our shared life here at the church. That's really my topic today. And as we approach that topic, I want to take the advice of George Sears, who is the vocations director for the Roman Catholic Diocese of New York. George Sears says this: when Jesus called his disciples, he didn't put flyers in the synagogue and put some type of poster in the village square. It was a personal invitation. It was a personal invitation. So taking that from George, I want to get personal this morning. More personal. So let's do a couple things. Let's get rid of this. Don't need that. Do you mind? You have to ask Dorothy's permission to put anything on the piano. Don't really need the tie. Need the stool. All right, there, that's better. I don't want to be behind this pulpit. I want to talk to you for the rest of this time from my heart. And I want to talk to you about our church. And I want to talk to you about what's possible. What can we imagine for Fountain Hills Presbyterian Church? What can we imagine for ourselves? What can we imagine for our community? What can we imagine for our place here in Fountain Hills? Dream with me. Look with me. Creatively visualize with me. More importantly, what do we think Christ imagines for us here? Have you ever thought about what does Christ want from us as we gather here as his community? You see, that's an important question because Christians aren't consumers, they're contributors. So if that's the case, what do we need to contribute to satisfy our Lord? And coming from that perspective, we don't just sit back and watch. We get engaged. That's why we pray by laying hands on those that need it. That's why we baptize with touch and with water. And that's why communion is manifest through physical elements, right? Physical elements, the bread and the wine, and physical acts, breaking, giving, sharing. We engage as those that follow Jesus Christ. We engage, we give, we sacrifice, we encourage. That's what we're called to do. That's who we are. Church is a contact sport, you see. It's a contact sport. It's participatory. If you thought otherwise, you're in the wrong place. And that brings me to my point. What is possible here? What can you imagine for us as a community of faith? Growth, perhaps. Renewal. How about transformation? How about resurrection? How about revitalization? How about community? How about discipleship? How about love? How about love? Can you imagine that as possible here? Because all of those are. All of those are within our grasp, because everything is possible through him who believes. As Jesus takes the hand of that seemingly dead boy in our story this morning, he shows us that everything is possible. Here's some good news for you. A resurrected you is possible here. New life is possible for you and me and everyone who joins in this community. In fact, the best version of you that you can possibly be is possible here. The best version of you that you can possibly be is possible here. Perhaps more than anywhere else in the world. I absolutely believe that. And I absolutely want that for you. And I absolutely want that for me. And I absolutely want that for us together, the best possible versions of us. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. There's a price to be paid. You have to join me in embracing these possibilities. You have to imagine yourself as a vital part of this church. Vital underscored three times. That's what it takes. You see, then you have to act on that. You have to act on that imagining. And you have to engage. Too often, we define our lives by scarcity. Too often, we give in to our perception of our limitations, and we say, it's too hard, it's too much, I'm too old, I can't do that, that's not my skill. There's a word for that, but I can't use it here. Instead, we need to open ourselves to a vision of abundance, vision of richness, and recognize that with God, all things are possible. Give into that just for a minute. A vision of abundance for you. A vision of abundance for your spiritual life. A vision of abundance for the life of this church and how it impacts the life of the community around us and what it does for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Just let yourself roll in that for a couple of minutes. Because that's what's right before us. That's what's within our grasp. All things are possible for those that believe. So now I'm asking you from my heart, I am asking you. I can't ask you with any more passion. It's all I got. Hear me, please. Will you step up? Will you take part? Will you claim your place? Will you lean into possibility, yours and ours together? That's a question I came to ask this morning. Are you willing? Will you come with me? Will you creatively visualize who we can be, how we can be, what we can do? The future's bright, brighter than you might think. It is full of possibility. All we need to do is grasp it. Will you do that, or will you continue? Will you continue, those of you to whom this is appropriate, will you continue to drain on those who are actively working to create a vision of vitality here at FHPC? Yeah, that's a real question. Are you part of the problem or are you part of the solution? There's so much good work to be done here. My gosh, the things that lie before us, the potential we have, the possibilities that we can reach. And there's so, so much there. But we need leaders. We need leaders. We have a shortage of elders and deacons right now. Elders and deacons that are marked by their shared commitment and their mutual sacrifice. Could you take that role? Could you fill that role? Could you do that? It's time to ask yourself. It's time to stop looking at the others who've already done their job and say, gosh, it's my turn. Let me step up. And we need supporters. If that leadership thing is more than you think that you can grasp, then we need supporters. I'll document to you what that looks like. Come to a buildings and grounds meeting, and you watch those six or seven guys that have come together as an open community, really without a designated leader as such, and shared in life and work and all of those things. It's a beautiful thing to watch. Come to a mission council meeting. It's full of people, all of whom are committed to the outreach of the Lord Jesus Christ and the outreach of this church, and they all are working toward that end. Or come to a worship and music meeting where there's got to be, I don't know, 14 people in there, all focused on worship and music. Those are the parts of the church that work the best because they're the parts of the church that have the most engagement from the most people. But there are other areas, Christian formation, finance, there's a fairly long list, places that you can get involved, either as a leader or as a supporter. Come on. Wake up. Everybody decries the death of the church. The church is only death if we let it be. The church is only death if we're not life. So I'm begging you this morning, get out of your pew. Come join the rest of us. Roll up your sleeves. I don't want to hear about your limitations. Sorry. This isn't a very pastoral moment. I don't want to hear about your limitations. I want you to see your possibilities. I want to see the best you, and I want that best you involved in the life of this church because the church will be so much the better for it, and you will be so much the better for it. And here's a simple fact of the matter. We don't need any more pew warmers. The pews are fine. Thank you. We don't need any more pew warmers. If all of us sit around and wait for someone else to do the work, then no one will do anything. How's that going to be? And if no one does anything, then nothing is possible here. Literally nothing. So step up. Step up. However, if we join together and being, if our being is Christ's church, if we allow ourselves to see the possibilities in ourselves, if we allow ourselves to see the possibilities in one another, and if we allow ourselves to see the possibilities in Him, right, then He's quite clear. All things can be done for the one who believes. Which is to say, 100% is possible 100% of the time. That's all it takes. All you have to do is step up and believe and claim your part. So what do you imagine? Here's my question. What do you imagine is possible for yourself this morning? Can you be a leader? Can you be a supporter? You can most certainly be something other than a pew setter. So for gosh sakes, take my hand. Let's go. Let's go. Let's be a committed community. Let's go forward. Let's carry this church into the future. Let's carry Christ's ministry into the community around us. Let's do it together. Are you ready to step up and step in for our Lord and for his church? And are you ready to join those 100%ers, those ones that see that 100% is possible 100% of the time? We'll talk more about this next week. I'm not done. I'm just getting warmed up. But in the meantime, if you're ready to get started, if I've tickled something in you, if I've poked something in you, then call me or come visit. I got a whole list of opportunities on my desk. Trust me, I'll put you to work. And next week, like I said, we'll talk a little bit more about this. But if you're ready to get started, come on by, because this is the case. You see, the possibilities are endless. Are endless. So come on. Let's go do this. Amen.